This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With you for about 20 more minutes, half an hour, take you right up to Cubs baseball in Sacramento this evening, taking on the A's, the homeless A's. They are without a permanent home or a city to claim, and they will start the season off, well, start their home portion of their season off with the Cubs tonight, 9 o'clock first pitch. Zach will have the pregame show right here on The Score coming up at 8:30. If you're looking for the Bulls, they're down the dial at our sister station, WBBM 780, and you can just keep it right here for now. I mean, the way this Bulls team has been playing and pulling off miracles lately, I wouldn't put it past them to come back, but they're down almost 30 points to OKC right now, 65-36, with just under 2 minutes left to go in the second quarter. So that's what's going on there in OKC with the Chicago Bulls. Maybe the magic has worn off. I don't know. I don't want to say that because I've enjoyed this run, which is something I didn't think I would be saying about the Bulls, but here I am enjoying this run, and I hope the magic hasn't run out. I also hope that all these moves that the Bears have made this offseason work out. If you've heard me on the station, while I like really all the moves, almost to a move, I'm a fan of and like what the Bears have done this offseason. But I also know that I've liked things that they've done in the past, new coaches and GMs and quarterbacks and everything else in between, first round picks, where I went, oh man, they might finally have it right this time, and then it didn't work out, and I think we've all been there. So I'm just kind of sitting back in like wait and see mode, like, yeah, this looks good on paper, but show me something before I get excited about this. And I also, I'm open to opinions to the contrary, that maybe what the Bears have done this offseason is not the home run that we all think that it is. And I came across one of those, and it's kind of data-based. It's from Austin Mock of The Athletic, who went through a little exercise, just went team by team to see what teams got better and what teams got worse and by how much in the offseason. And he puts a disclaimer on it. He says a lot can change. Teams have plenty of time to alter their standing in these rankings. But we wanted to examine where things are right now, how much value some teams have added, how much value some teams have lost. To measure that, my model uses a handful of advanced metrics and assigns a value to every player in the NFL. Think of that value as how much a single player affects the point spread of the expected winning percentage of a single game. Got it? So he just went through every transaction in the NFL of every team and assigned a value to each player as far as essentially what they add or subtract to a point spread and the winning percentage of a game. And so he ranked them, and I'm going down this list, and quite frankly, With everything the Bears have done this offseason, and this doesn't include coaches. This is just players. This doesn't include coaches. This also doesn't account for the fact that guys could be coming off a down season who have had much better performance at the NFL level in the past. Guys could be coming off big seasons who haven't performed at that level on the past. This is simply the value that these guys had last year added or subtracted to the teams that they went to or left. And given what the Bears have done this offseason, how much I like it on paper, how much most of the people I talk to like it on paper, based on quote-unquote experts and analysts from around the football world who have put the Bears at or near the top of the list of most improved teams in the NFL, I was expecting to pull up these rankings and see the Bears, if not at, near the top of this list that, again, used some data points to assign a value to each player and then added and subtracted that value to the teams they went to or left. And so I start going down this list, and it starts with the Raiders. Apparently have had, now you also have to factor in they added a quarterback, and quarterbacks are going to have a bigger effect on a point spread and winning percentage than any other position on the field. Same with the Giants. So the Raiders and the Giants are there at the top, and then you go Patriots, Colts, Commanders, Titans, Broncos. Now I'm like, wait a second. Where exactly are the Bears in this? Cardinals, Packers, there's the first team in the NFC North. Saints, Vikings, there's another team in the NFC North. We're getting near the bottom of teams that help themselves and starting to get into territory of teams that actually hurt themselves this offseason as I go down this list. There's the Rams, there's the Ravens, and that's the breaking point right there. According to this data, that right there is where the line is drawn of teams that have helped themselves, and now we move into teams that have actually hurt themselves and have gotten negative value from the teams that or from the players that they've signed versus the players that they've let go. Then you get to the Chargers, the Steelers, the Lions, the Browns, and then you get to the Bears at -2.9 in terms of points added to a point spread in terms of from the players. I know this is a little convoluted and a little complicated. I'm trying to explain it. -2.9 points from the players that they've acquired versus the players that they've lost. They're saying the Bears have essentially lost 3 points per game from the players that they've added versus the players that they've lost. And I saw that, and some of you might be listening right now and going, how? What? How? How is that even possible? And so I pulled up the list of acquired players and departing players for the Chicago Bears. And I don't need to go over it all. You all know it. Jackson Tooney, Dahlman, Adengbo, Jarrett. I think I figured out where it is. And if it is where it is that I found these points. And again, this is all some very rough math. It doesn't factor in coaching. It doesn't factor in what, you know, a quarterback taking a next step in his development and career, what that could mean for these expected points added for the players that are switching teams. But I think I got to the bottom of it. And I think it's at the wide receiver position, where the Bears added Devin Duvernay and Olamide Zaccheaus and let Keenan Allen walk. That's got to be where it is, because there's no way that the offensive linemen that they swapped out in getting Tooney and Jackson and Dahlman and letting Coleman Shelton, among others, walk from the offensive line, there's no way that losing a Jack Sanborn or a Jacob Martin. Like, I look up and down this list and I'm like, because he doesn't give a write-up on the Bears. He gives a write-up on the top five teams and the bottom five teams in terms of value added and value lost. So he doesn't specify where the Bears added and lost value and how they ended up with a -2.9 in their EPA of players that they've added and lost this season. So I'm trying to do this math on my own, and I gotta believe it's at wide receiver in losing Keenan Allen and losing DeAndre Carter and only adding Zaccheaus, the wide receiver from Washington, who signed a 1-year deal worth $1.5 million. That's the only place where I see value or points lost on this roster. And if that's where it is, I think once it gets on the field, theoretically speaking, and what I'm hoping and what I think you're hoping and what I think the Bears are planning is that the loss of Keenan Allen is offset by another step in the development of their wide receiver core, another step in the development of their quarterback in Caleb Williams, getting a little bit more out of everybody on the offense from Ben Johnson and his brilliance. If this exercise was just based on math, and then we go, okay, but how does it actually play out on the football field, and how do you offset those points lost using that rough math that Austin Mock did? Again, that's the only place where I can see any value lost for the Bears is at the wide receiver position in terms of the math of the value lost of losing a Keenan Allen and losing a DeAndre Carter and adding a Olamide Zaccheaus. That's the only place on the roster I can see it, and I think that's easily offset. So I think I got to the bottom of it, and I'm not too worried about where the Bears are on this list based on what I think will actually happen when they get on the field and football players play and coaches call plays. I don't think they'll miss Keenan Allen as maybe this little exercise that has the Bears losing 3 points a game with their offseason transactions. I don't see that being the... I don't think the math adds up once the cleats hit the field. I did want to talk about one other Bears-related thing just real quick. And something I didn't think I'd consider, and again, I'm trying to cram a three-hour show into a two-and-a-half-hour bag here on the show, so I just wanted to spend a couple minutes on this, and it was Chris Emma at 670score.com, covers the Bears for us, who got the wheels turning a little bit. I didn't think trading up would be a very attractive idea to me when it comes to the Bears and this draft, but Chris Emma, and you should check out the piece at 670score.com, makes a pretty strong case for it if it comes to an Abdul Carter, or he brings up Travis Hunter, who's a two-way prospect. But if the Bears are looking for a wide receiver and or a cornerback, that's not a bad idea. And he talks about what it might cost to move up from 10 to, say, 4. And he says it would be one of their 2 second-round picks if the sides were to follow the guidelines of the NFL draft trade value chart. In that hypothetical scenario, the Bears could be in the driver's seat to select the top non-quarterback in this class if they moved up to 4. And I, when you put it that way, or Chris Emma puts it that way, I kind of like the idea, only if you see a player there, and it could be an Abdul Carter, it could be Ashton Jeanty, it could be Mason Graham. If you see a guy there, you know, we hear the term generational thrown around a lot when it comes to quarterbacks, and we heard it with Caleb Williams last year. If you think one of these guys is a generational talent for their position, whether it's Jeanty or Carter or one of these other guys, if you think they're the best player at that position that's come through the draft in years, and I've heard a number of people say that about Ashton Jeanty, about Abdul Carter to some degree, if you think a guy is that good, is generational, and it would only cost you one of your second-round picks to do it, I think I might be down. And also, I like what it says about this year, which is this is a win-now situation. We're not worried about those draft picks that might help us later in the future, or giving up draft picks later in the future if the deal would include that, because we think we have everything we need to win right now. So I like what it says, and I think if it's a player that's, again, a generational, game-changing, difference-making type of player, I don't hate the idea. I encourage you to check out the piece by Chris Emma up there at 670thescore.com. One more quick segment before I make way for Cubs baseball, and I don't know what everybody is complaining about when it comes to this Final Four. I'll tell you why. Right after this, Rami Makhlouf, Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Final segment here before I make way for Cubs baseball. They take on the A's from Sacramento. The tournament is down to 4 teams. College Hoops coverage on the Score is brought to you by Bet365. 5. And I've heard a lot of complaining about this tournament and a lot of belly aching and a lot of people not liking it or bored by it. And the Final Four is now set, and it's all number one seeds, Auburn, Duke, Florida, and Houston, all advancing to the Final Four. And it's only the second time in tournament history that four one seeds have gone. I think it's the first time, I think I heard Layla Rahimi say, since 2008 that four number one seeds all went to the Final Four. And I get it. I understand. We all like the upset. It's fun, you know what I mean? When you see the mid-major or the smaller program knock off the ranked team or the bigger program in the higher seed. It's why they call it March Madness, and it's one of the things that we all love about it. But at the end of the day, especially once we get to this point, don't we it's funny. I hosted the afternoon show on our sister station in Milwaukee today. And my producer, Charlie, over there, he goes, "Isn't this what the playoffs are in every major sport? Like, we get to the end and it's like the four or the two best teams, and that's what we want. Like, you're rooting for your team, but if it's not going to be your team, you just want to see the best players and the best teams do what they do and put on a good show and put out a good product. That's what I want." And especially, full disclosure and transparency, I'm not the biggest college basketball guy. I'm like a novice or a casual college basketball fan. I tune in once March rolls around and the madness gets going, and I'm watching it through the prism or the lens of an NBA fan, of whose game is going to translate, who's going to show themselves out on this big stage and under this bright spotlight and show NBA fans and NBA teams what they can do and what they're made of and what they might be at the next level. So for those purposes, A, from just a good basketball and entertainment standpoint, and B, from watching the best players sort of put on this audition for the NBA and for its front offices and for their fans and everything else, isn't this kind of what we want? Is four top programs getting there, being on that big stage so we can see them all face each other, face the toughest competition that's out there to face? I don't get, especially once we get to the Final Four, if you want upsets and Cinderellas and little engines that could in the first round or the first couple of rounds, okay, but I don't understand any belly aching about it being four one seeds and it being the best programs and the best players on the biggest stage once we get to this point of the tournament. This is what I want across the board in all sports, is the best teams and the best players advancing and putting on the best show for me and any other fans that might be out there. So I'm honestly, as a, again, novice, casual college basketball fan, I'm here for this Final Four, and I think I will enjoy it. That's going to about do it for me here on the evening show. My thanks to Clay Harbor of CHSN, 9-year NFL vet, joined me to talk some Bears and some football, and Evan Altman of Cubs Insider. If you missed either of those or anything on today's show, you can check it out at 670score.com or on the Odyssey app using that handy-dandy rewind feature. Also, my thanks to Grant Leader on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos and helping me throw this whole thing together. And thanks to all of you out there for listening and contributing to the Score Evening Show. I'll be back on these airwaves and in this time slot Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Until then, Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening to the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Cubs baseball is coming up next.